One of the oldest and most familiar genetic disorders is Down syndrome, named for British doctor John Langdon Down, who first clinically identified the condition back in 1866. But the famous chromosomal abnormality of Down syndrome, an extra copy of chromosome number 21, was first described much later in 1959 by a whole different set of researchers. Researchers have puzzled over that extra chromosome ever since. Is it the cause of the syndrome, a marker, or the result of something else going on? Well, this week, doctors at the University of Massachusetts Medical School may have solved a big part of this puzzle. Joining us is Dr. Brian Scottco, co-director of the Down syndrome program at Massachusetts General Hospital and professor at Harvard Medical School. Doctor, welcome.
Thank you, John, for having me.
So I've puzzled about this as well. The chromosomal abnormality seems, you know, extraordinarily definitive, yet if you think about it for a second, is it the cause? Is it just an indicator of something else that's going on?
Well, Dr. Lawrence and her lab certainly have made a landmark study in the field of Down syndrome. We know that everyone with Down syndrome has an extra copy of that 21st chromosome, but also puzzling, people with Down syndrome are all different in their own unique ways, just like the rest of us are all different. Not everyone with Down syndrome has a heart condition. Not everyone with Down syndrome has thyroid issues. Not everyone with Down syndrome will go on to develop Alzheimer's. So even though they all have that extra chromosome, there is still wide variation in the effects and the symptoms that go along with Down syndrome. What this landmark study, though, shows is that it is possible, at least in a petri dish, to be able to turn off that extra chromosome. And I have to say, over the past decade, we never thought that this would one day be possible, but Dr. Lawrence and her team have shown that perhaps in the future, it is possible.
So there are two elements here. Number one, the sort of switch idea suggests that the chromosomal abnormality is on some level a kind of control mechanism for how Down syndrome develops in people. And secondly, the technology for doing that kind of switching is also a part of the breakthrough.
That's right. We certainly know that overdosage or that extra set of genes on the 21st chromosome is likely contributing to many of the symptoms that go along with Down syndrome. But what these researchers were able to determine through a naturally occurring process in the body is taking something on the X chromosome. There is a gene on the X chromosome that will shut one X chromosome off. Females have two copies of the X chromosome and males have one copy. But in every person, you only need and should be using one copy. So the body naturally has to have a way of shutting down one of those X chromosomes in females. And what Dr. Lawrence and her team did was basically transplant that gene from the X chromosome onto the 21st chromosome. And then they waited to see, would that gene shut down that extra 21st chromosome? And in this landmark paper, they showed, yes, indeed it happened. We are a far way off from therapeutic interventions, but this is the first study to really change the thinking about Down syndrome.
Of course, doctors such as yourself will be thinking strategically about what the implications are outside of the petri dish. Let me take the perspective of family members and parents who might be thinking about this today. So many parents have the experience of Down syndrome being a condition that appears to be set at birth irrevocably. Is this a switch that could be manipulated in utero? Is this something that could have an early childhood kind of intervention? Or is this a continuing pharmacological therapy of some sort?
And these are all the questions that will be asked next. I think the science has been published today, and certainly the provocative questions are, can this one day be turned into some sort of therapeutic option? And at what stage in development can that be given? Again, we're far ways away, but one could start to imagine, can it be given to adults with Down syndrome, to babies with Down syndrome, to pregnant women who have a prenatal diagnosis of Down syndrome? But, you know, among the parents that I get to work with and their children with Down syndrome in the Massachusetts General Hospital Down syndrome program, I think this is going to raise the tantalizing question, and that is, can Down syndrome be cured or and or should Down syndrome be cured? And I think a lot of parents are waking up and going to read this news today and say, wow, this is wonderful news. But I think a lot of parents are also going to pause and say, well, what does this mean for the future of Down syndrome? And what does this mean about my son or daughter who I love just the way he or she is?
Well, you've identified a really interesting component here and giving a sense of the numbers of people who fall into this category. But I suspect that so many of the parents that you deal with, while they're very concerned about the medical future of their child, under no circumstances would want this experience, these characteristics of their child to be erased in any sense, right?
And I think the best spokespeople are people with Down syndrome themselves who have said loud and clear in research and their own advocacy that they feel their lives are valuable. And I had a chance with some researchers to look at people with Down syndrome and ask, how do they feel about their lives? And we learned that 99% of people with Down syndrome state, without question, they're happy with their lives and they like who they are and they like what they do. So certainly the ethical dimensions of a potential cure really need to be kind of consulted with the key stakeholders here, and that's people with Down syndrome and their family members.
You know, it feels like a kind of cochlear implant moment, recalling the experience in the deaf community when that technology was developed.
You're exactly right. I think there's strong parallels of moms and dads who are deaf, who have a child who is deaf, and then need to decide, should they implant a cochlear implant? That is, should they welcome their child into the same culture of people who are deaf, or should they somehow fix and or cure, in some people's words, change their child into another culture, another world? And it brings up the whole culture of disability. You know, people with Down syndrome have certainly their own culture and their unique gifts that they give to their communities. And a future cure, people are asking, well, would the world be bereft of certain positive characteristics that people with Down syndrome contribute to our communities?
Well, it's a fascinating and emotional sort of collision of ethics and science. I can hear it in your voice. Dr. Brian Scottco, thanks so much.
Thank you, John, for having me.
Dr. Brian Scottco is co-director of the Down Syndrome Program at Massachusetts General Hospital and professor at Harvard Medical School.